אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Ron Finkel is the chairman of Rosanna International, a groundbreaking initiative that uses cross-border medical collaboration to build bridges in the Middle East. With a background in philanthropy and a deep commitment to humanitarian work, Finkel has helped bring Israeli and Palestinian doctors together in joint training, research, and patient care, proving that health can be a powerful tool for diplomacy and peace. And we have him with us on SBS Hebrew today. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you, Mariam. Pleased to be here.
Can you please tell us a little bit about the origins of Rosanna International and what inspired its founding?
So my lived experience, going back 20 years or more, was in the Israeli health sector. I had the honor and privilege of founding Hadassah in Australia in 2003. The context in which we took the initiative with Hadassah Australia was to try to provide a pathway for Jews living in the diaspora to still be involved in the building of the State of Israel through health. Of course, the iconic Hadassah Hospital is a major part of what the Hadassah idea does, but it wasn't the only part. But over the years, I had an opportunity to visit Hadassah on many occasions. What stood out to me was that it didn't matter in Jerusalem what was happening on the outside. There could be really heart-wrenching and catastrophic events happening. You cross the portal into the hospital and immediately you're in a different context. You're in what I would call an island of sanity in what could otherwise be a chaotic situation. And you would see Israeli, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Druze, and Palestinian health professionals working together, focused on delivering best health outcomes for the patients who themselves reflected that particular spread of things. And I often thought to myself, you know, is it possible to capture this aspect of life and in a way kind of sprinkle it around so that you begin to engage people in a way that is not focused on narrative, but it's focused on shared commitment to a common cause, in this case, the shared Hippocratic Oath and the delivery of best health outcomes. And so it has been. And since we established Rosanna in 2013, it's now 12 years later, it has grown to be a very impactful organization in the area of what we call health diplomacy, which is engaging across the border, but on an equal level, not in any other way, finding pathways to do things that gradually empower those that are less knowledgeable in this particular areas, but again, as equals. And it's not just doctors. The biggest cohort that we work with are actually nurses. The ratio of doctors and nurses is way in favor of nurses. In fact, they're the primary points of contact in so many contexts for patients and people requiring clinical support.
So, Ron, tell us a little bit about this health diplomacy. Is the name of the game to find peace through health as a mechanism, or is it just a byproduct of cross-pollination between Palestinians, Israelis? What is health diplomacy? Put it in a geopolitical sense.
Okay, so the health diplomacy is defined by the WHO, the World Health Organization, as at the macro level, trying to use the world's health institutions to engage with each other and try and use them as leverage into a resolution of conflict. I came from a background where I personally felt that I had the capacity to contribute to macro political resolution of political problems. And I, about, I guess, 20 plus years ago, came to the realization that my capacity to make a difference in the Israel-Palestine space at the macro level was exactly zero. But the peace doesn't come, and we know this for a fact, it doesn't come just from the top down. You've got to have buy-in from the bottom up as well. Without that engagement from people at the bottom, you can end up in a situation where the politicians resolve something, the people reject it, and the outcome can be catastrophic.
Rosanna International a political organization as much as it is a health organization?
No. In any way you like to describe it, we're not political in the sense that we do not advocate for outcomes. What we are trying to do is bring people back into a context where they recognize their common humanity, and that context is best delivered in a really meaningful and deep way in the health sector, because it touches everybody's life in every you know, from the moment of conception to death. You know, it's the one space where health touches us in every way you can think.
It's a universal thing. There's no one that can escape it.
Exactly. It offers broad opportunity for connecting. We have built a set of programs that at their core involve training and engagement on both sides, but additionally, they have outcomes that are measurable. And I'm not just saying this for myself. Harvard, in February, issued a big paper on peace-building strategies and decided and determined that health is by far and away the sector where the most likely potential was for peace-building. And so we have this accumulation of experience to say, yes, this actually works. And part of what it does is also that it is empowering Palestinians, giving them access to knowledge that they can apply in their own facilities for the betterment of the patients that are coming to those facilities, without requiring those patients to have to be referred to hospitals in Israel because the Palestinian hospitals don't have those skills. It's a long-term strategy, but it's having a really significant impact.
Tell me a little bit about these ongoing programs that you have rolled out in some areas that some would consider high-risk areas, such as the Gaza Strip, with your Gaza mobile clinics, as well as in Jerusalem, you've got the Wheels of Hope. Yeah. Have you encountered any conflict or rejection from the locals, given that Rosanna is affiliated with Jewish-Israeli allied health practitioners?
Short answer, no. It's an interesting thing. We have never had anything that we do impacted or impeded by groups that are doing anti-normalization stuff. Now, I can't say that everybody is happy with what we do, because there are the people who are absolutists and they won't tolerate anything that involves any kind of exchange. But very many Palestinians know that their health is assisted by the fact that they have had a network of referrals to Israeli hospitals. Never, ever did the flow of patients from Palestine, from the West Bank or Gaza, of course, until the conflict started, was it impeded by anybody suggesting that a child who needed pediatric dialysis, or a child with blood cancer or any other kind of ailment that was in need of treatment but was unavailable, that treatment wasn't available in either Gaza or the West Bank, should be prevented from getting that treatment in an Israeli hospital. It just never happened. And today we don't have anybody coming across from Gaza, but we have all the time patients being treated who are otherwise from the West Bank. The particular health issue that they have can't be treated to the required level in the Palestinian hospital for the time being, so they come to Israel. But that's not a long-term strategy. That's still the hand out and not the hand up. Rosanna is a hand-up organization, transferring knowledge and making sure that over time the Palestinian health sector is enriched and enhanced by access to knowledge gained by training on the Israeli side, and services that can be transferred, whether it be our Women for Women program, where we have mobile clinic going out to remote villages in the southern part of the West Bank, bringing important clinical care to places where women do not get any clinical care whatsoever. The WHO actually estimated a few years ago that there were something like 150,000 women who live in Area C, which is controlled by Israel, who were unable to get clinical care because their husbands wouldn't drive them to a clinic, and if it was more than 6 kilometers away, they couldn't walk, and they didn't, so they were just absent. And now we have a mobile clinic with this team of 10 young health professionals out of Hebron who are trained at Sheba, who have every 2 weeks in courses to increase their capability. We transfer the data remotely using telehealth. It's just a really fabulous way of making a contribution. And they become our advocates as well.
Mm.
The Mormon Church just spent $250,000 on fitting out a dedicated mobile clinic labeled Rosanna. So this clinic, which has got facilities for examination room and all the other things that you would do, and mobile ultrasound and all these things, it goes from village to village with a team of people who have been trained in Israel, and they talk about the things that they've learned and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to gild the lily. It doesn't mean that we've found the magic potion for peace. And stuff like that. Mm. No. But it's diplomacy in the sense that it's getting people who've had a positive experience talking about that experience to others in their families, in their clans, in their communities, and it begins to build a momentum.
Have you seen any positive momentum anecdotally, or have you heard of any good stories where perhaps a Palestinian who was very wary of Israelis then had a positive mm-hmm. medical experience with Rosanna?
I'll tell you one very, very quick example. The largest hospital in the West Bank is in Hebron. It's called the Al-Ahli Hospital in Hebron. The CEO of that hospital is a guy by the name of Dr. Yusuf Takruri. Yusuf was slowly engaging with some of the things that we were doing, and then we got this big grant from the USAID for the training of a group of 250 Palestinian, 250 Israeli nurses under the USAID MEPA program. About 6 months ago, he rings up my colleague, the CEO of Rosanna, Ronit Zimmer, and he's so excited. He says to her, "I just want you to know, we had on the Nursing Hub program, this is what we're calling, some of our senior nurses, and they did a six-month rotation on ICU delivery, best practice in ICU delivery. Well, they came back and they said to me, Dr. Takruri, we feel confident that we can run a course in Arabic for local nurses here, upskilling them to ICU. So he said, okay, go ahead. So they put the program together, checked it out with their Israeli colleagues, ran the program. The 65 graduate nurses joined the program. And why was he ringing? Because he wanted to tell Ronit that of the people who went through the course, 45 of them, they've employed them. The multiplier effect is quite remarkable. When you also look at it in terms of an ROI, the return on investment is incredible, because those nurses are going to be in the workforce for, let's say, 20, 25 years. Their ongoing training, the number of people that they'll be treating, the number of interactions that they have, these are very validating. It does go some way. Now, I want to make it very clear that we, as Rosanna, believe that the context where you're working is in itself a positive. I mean, if you're trying to bring people back to finding their common humanity, this is a really good way to do it. But it doesn't deal in and of itself with getting the people to become friends. That takes another level of engagement. And we have had the opportunity to run a number of programs. These are like a 10-day seminar outside of Israel and Palestine. We actually did one in December in Geneva, facilitated, really opened up the opportunity for the participants, they were all nurses, to share their personal perspectives. Almost all said, "Oh, I didn't realize what you'd been going through." And the other one said, "Oh, I didn't realize what your experience was." It actually enables them to go to that next level of not just being professional colleagues, but somewhat more engaged at a personal level.
So, Ron, what other industries can we exploit, just like you're using health as a conduit to diplomacy and conversation? What else can we do? Can we use this through music, food, art? What other ideas might you have?
I think technology would probably be one. There's an organization called Tech for Peace that's doing that sort of work. It's on a much, much smaller scale. There are not that many today, Mariela, of cross-border programs that are really dealing at the human level with interactions between Palestinians and Israelis on scale.
And is that one of the consequences of post-October 7 living?
To some extent it is, but I think it was even a problem beforehand. It's very hard to do it with kids in education, because they've got their syllabus in the West Bank or Gaza and these ones. It just doesn't easily work. They're teaching different curricula. I'm not so sure that it's easy. People have tried. Don't get me wrong, but that's why I referred back to that Harvard research paper. They looked at really all the different frameworks of cross-border activity for peace building. And they really said none of them have any sustainable impact, or very little. The one space which we don't dominate is the health sector. So if you go into an Israeli hospital and you see the number of Palestinians, even today, who are working and training alongside their Israeli colleagues, that works. That has impact. And I'm not trying to push a particular
agenda
aspect. It's just a reality. It is a reality that this is the low-hanging opportunity, if you like, and right. We really need to build on it. Look, my own personal lived experience is that I meet good people on both sides all the time. I was in Ramallah 2 weeks ago, just evidence of the fact to me that there are young aspirational Palestinians whose definition of the future is what can they do to strengthen the institutions of the future state of Palestine alongside the existing state of Israel. Their voices...
That within itself, though, is a concept that a lot of people can't get their heads around. And that's why I was asking you earlier if it's a political organization or if it's not.
No, it depends what you call politics. This is humanity. You know, if you say it, and you say it often enough to yourself, any minute of the bell, there's no one to talk to.
Then there won't be anyone to talk to.
Then you convince yourself there's no one to talk to. But if you actually make the time to talk and engage, you'd be astonished. They cut from very similar aspirational cloth. We've cut ourselves off from that sort of contact, but there's no need to do that. And there are bad people, and there are great people, and there are good, and there are not so good. There are humanity that's a mixture of all types. But there's a young generation emerging now who are unquestionably committed to a two-state solution. They want to just get on with their lives. They don't want to have a place that they call home like we, the Jewish people, have a place that we call home. You know, we're not just talking the talk, we're walking the walk.
Absolutely.
And we have now the data and the evidence to show, and we're happy to share it with anybody. We've got the Harvard research, we've got our own 3-year analysis of the impact. We do all our programs, start off with baseline questionnaires, we do ongoing assessment, and then we do, at the end of a program, we do focus groups and further questionnaire, and they show remarkable increase in empathy on all sides.
So, well, a rising tide lifts all boats, so.
Let's hope so. Hope so, Marielle. It's something that we have to be open to, otherwise the future is bleak. And I am committed to a horizon of hope, and Rosanna is a non-partisan, non-Jewish idea that is being implemented now in a region that's very close to all of us. We used to say about it, if you could make it in New York, you could make it anywhere. I think in health diplomacy, if you can make it in Israel, Palestine, you can make it anywhere. So the model is not going to be unique to Israel-Palestine. It has potential applications in other places where communities are in conflict as well.
Ron Finkel, thank you so much for joining us on SBS Hebrew.
It's my pleasure. Leitrot. Bye.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.